Okay, but listen carefully. I'm taking off, I'm carrying on from where I left off.
Because both classes are basically the same stuff. So inshallah, we were talking about Maulab and Mabni. We were talking about why Arab is needed. Why? Arab is needed. And also, from the parts of speech, what are the parts of speech that experience Arab? And what are the parts of speech that don't experience Arab? The ones that do experience it, they're called Maulab. And the ones that don't experience it, they're called Mabni. And the primary reason why Arab is needed in the language is to differentiate between grammatical meanings. To differentiate between grammatical meanings, because fa'iliya, to be a fa'il, maf'uliya, to be a maf'ul, idafa, to be a mudafilay, to be a mudafilay, to be the ism of ghana, to be the khabar of inna, all these are grammatical positionings. What are they? Grammatical positionings. And a lot of them, you know, sequence is not important. Sequence is not important. So how do you know the subject from the object? How do you know the object from the mudafilay? How do you know the object from the mudafilay? So these things, they need to be determined, differentiated. So for that, in Arabic, the method of, the system of differentiating is called I'rab. What is it called? I'rab, and it's done by giving the last letter of the noun a distinct voweling. A distinct voweling. So for the three grammatical states, there's three different vowelings. Okay? And harf, they don't experience those grammatical meanings, therefore they're all mabni. They're all mabni. From the verbs, most of them are mabni. Some of them are mu'rab. From the isms, most of them are mu'rab, some of them are mabni. Why does it occur? Why do some from the isms, why are they mabni? They're supposed to be all mu'rab. They're supposed to be all mu'rab because they all need the system of differentiating that I'rab provides. They all need it, right?
All of them?
Isms, because the isms, they all have the capacity to be used in those ways.
Even like min and all
that. Min? Min is not isms, it's a harf. So about the harf, you already said they're all mabni. Don't worry about the harf. In the nouns, we have this problem, right? So the 20% they need to be accounted for. And over there is 20% that need to be accounted for. So, so some scholars of Nahu, they do it like this. They establish some original mabnis. What do? They establish some original mabnis and they say these things are original mabnis. All harfs, smati and amr hadir ma'roof. Amr hadir ma'roof is the command verb. What is it? The command verb. And they say anything from the isms that resembles one of these three will be mabni because of resemblance. Because of resemblance. In other words, it will still get used in the ways that now get used. It will still get used in the ways that now gets used, but because of that resemblance, it will take on a characteristic of the harf, i.e. won't change anymore. It won't change anymore. So you see, hadihi being used as fa'il is still hadihi. Hadihi being used as maf'ul bihi is still hadihi. And then hadihi in the state of jar is still hadihi. It's still hadihi. You see, but everything's happening, but the change isn't occurring. The change isn't occurring. So that's how some of them explain it. Other nahwis, they say, the mahdi and the amr, forget that. It's all harf. What is it? It's all harf. Any ism that resembles the harf becomes mabni. Any ism, and this will account for all of that 20%. So you don't have to go and say madi and amr and all that stuff. Just say all harf. Because it's the ism that we're concerned with. The ism is the more important thing in Nahu. The ism. Harfs are discussed because they're agents. They affect the ism. Harfs are discussed because they affect the ism. Fi'l, again, they're discussed because they affect the ism, like that. So it's the ism that experiences the grammatical states, right? So now ism, minhu mu'rabun wa mabni. From it is mu'rab and mabni, and it happens because of a resemblance with the harf. With the harf. And now this resemblance is of four types. How many? Four ways resemblance can occur. Resemblance can occur in the way the word was coined. كَشَّبَهِ الْوَضْعِيِّ كَشَّبَهِ الْوَضْعِيِّ. In the way the word was coined, i.e. the number of letters, it's external form, the way it looks. That's a resemblance. So if a noun looks like a harf, it will become mabni. So what does it mean to look like a harf? Number of letters. The minimum number of letters in ism is supposed to be three. So if you see an ism that's less than three letters, it will be considered to resemble harf, because harfs are one and two. Harfs are
one
and two. So he gives two examples. كَشَّبَهِ الْوَضْعِيِّ قِسْمَي جِئْتَنَا. Like the wad'i resemblance in the two isms of jitana. The two isms of jitana. Jitana is a sentence. It means you came to us. What does it mean? You came to us. So there's three things inside jitana. There's the verb, which is the jit part. The what part? Jit, it means came. There's the subject of the verb, which is you. You came. Jitta. Jitta, because it's conjugation number 7. Jitta, jittuma, jittum, jitti. Jittuma, jittunna. Like that. Jitta. And obviously, it doesn't look like fa'al now, right? Fa'alta is different and jitta is different. So the reason for that is weak letters. What's the reason?
Weak
letters. Because we said there's two reasons why verbs can be can look different. You know, you have two verbs that are same conjugation number, same verb, same voice, same everything, but yet they're not rhyming. They're not rhyming. So there's two reasons why they won't rhyme. One reason is babs. What's one reason?
Babs.
The other reason why they won't rhyme is because one is made up of normal letters, so it's fa'alna, and the other one has a weak letter in it, and the self-qadr came and changed it. Made it easier. Asarf Qaida came in, changed it. So Ji'ta is Fa'alta. What is Ji'ta?
Fa'alta,
but it's not rhyming with Fa'alta because it has a Hamza in it. And it has a Ya which has dropped. Which has?
Dropped,
so it's making it less letters. No big deal. It's discussed in Saf later. Okay? It's all categorized. Everything's categorized.
See, how you differentiate the Nahu and the Saf are different at both?
No, they're complete different. The subject matter of self is different. The subject matter of Nahu is different. In self, we discuss verbs, their patterns of vowelization, and how they're conjugated. That's what we discuss in self. And derived nouns as well. Mushtaq. Derived nouns we discuss in self. Self talks about babs. Self talks about weak letters. That's it. On the other side, we have Nahu. Nahu talks about isms and their classifications based on gender, based on plurality, based on changing and not changing. Based on being derived and not being derived. So all these things are discussed in Nahu. Why? So that we understand reflection and grammatical change. Grammatical structure. Grammatical structure, how sentences are constructed. Because if you have like 8 words and you want to join them together to make a sentence, there's many ways of doing that. Like 1 times, 2 times, 3 times, 4, whatever until 8. So it's like tons. It goes into thousands, right? Of ways to put together 8 words. So from all those, how many are valid? Maybe 20, 30 are valid, the rest are all invalid. So Nahu will tell you what are the valid ways of constructing a sentence. Okay, so Saf doesn't deal with sentences. Saf doesn't deal with sentences. Nahu will tell you the valid ways of constructing sentences. Nahu will tell you the 4 grammatical states. What are they? And what are the positionings that are distributed on those 4? Because the Rafa has 8, the Nasab has 12, and the Jar has 2. What are those? And how can the noun be used? Okay, and then after that, they'll tell you how to reflect it as well. Because not always Dhamma Fatha Kasra. It's not always Dhamma Fatha Kasra. Dhamma Fatha Kasra is the dominant way to do reflection. And you could be by letters as well. It could be by letters, like a waw for Rafa, an Alif for Nasab, and a Jar for, a Ya for Jar. Abuka, Abaka, and Abika. Your father came, Ja Abuka, with a waw. Abuka. Abu is a separate word, Dakka is a separate word. Dakka means your. So we're talking about Abu there. Because Mudaf is subject to the governing agent. Dakka is Mamni. Forget Dakka. Forget the Ka. Abuka, Abaka with Alif. Abika with Ayah. So it's a Wow Alif Ya during the reflection. Not Dhamma Fatah Kasra. Not Dhamma Fatah Kasra. And so reflection is a discussion. We call it discussion number 3. What do you call it?
Discussion number 3.
Yeah. So discussion number 3 is a major discussion in Nahu. And we cover it in 1 hour. How long does it take?
1 hour.
1 hour. But not now. Not now. It'll take like a day and you still won't get it. So there's a time for it. When that time comes, we do it in 1 hour. Discussion number 3. And it's a whole 10% of Nahu. This one discussion is 10% of Nahu. The value, that's the value we give to it. That's how important it is. So that's what it is. That's what all Nahu is about. You understand what Nahu is now?
What's the meaning of Nahu?
Nahu means edge.
Edge.
Yeah.
E-D-G-E?
Yep, edge. Kinara. Right, because the action is occurring on the edge. All the last letter. Yeah, so all the actions are occurring on the edge, so they call it Nahu. Saf means to change. What does Saf mean? It means to change, to alternate with the Sarifi Riyah in the alternation of the winds, the signs of Allah's power. With the Sarifi Riyah, the changing of the winds. Okay? Saf. Okay, back to what I was talking about. So he said, كَالشَّبَهِ الْوَدْعِيِّ فِي اسْمَيْ جِئْتَنَا. Like the wad'i resemblance in the two isms of jitana. The first ism of jitana is the ta. The second ism of jitana is the na. The ta means you, the na means us. You came to us. You came to us. So ta resembles harf. Na resembles harf. How does ta resemble harf? It's only one letter. How does na resemble harf? It's two letters. And isms are supposed to be minimum 3 letters. So there's 2 examples in there. Jetana has two examples in this. The third is an example and the ninth example. You got that? وَالْمَعْنَوِيِّ فِي مَتَى وَفِي هُنَا. And like the meaning resemblance, in mata and in huna. In mata and in huna. Mata resembles harf. Huna resembles harf. How do they resemble in terms of their meaning? Because mata in the Arabic language is used for two meanings. Two meanings. Mata is used for shart, conditional sentences. Mata taqum aqum. When you stand up, I'll stand up. When you stand up, I'll stand up. So mata is used for shart. And for shart, we already have a particle that's used for that. In. It means if. What does it mean? If you stand now, I'll stand now. If you stand after 5 minutes, I'll stand after 5 minutes. If you stand after 10 minutes, I'll stand after 7 minutes. So instead of doing all that tafsil, what do we say? We say mata. What do you say? Mata. It means when you stand, I'll stand. So that implies if it's 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 10 minutes, right? So mata includes the meaning of in, right? Mata is in plus something else. You got that? In plus the time aspect, because in doesn't have a time aspect. It only means if. It only means if. And mata means if plus time. Plus time. So mata resembles in. Mata resembles in. What's in? In zahab. What's mata? Mata is an ism. That's another type of mata. Mata is used for two meanings. One meaning is the one I just explained, the shart meaning. The other meaning for mata is question. Mata tusafiru, when are you going on safar? When are you going? Even in the English language, we have two when. We have a conditional when and a question. When?
So
either. Either also means when. Mata also means when. You got that? So the mata that resembles in is the conditional one, and in is mabni, so mata is also mabni. And the other mata, the question one, we go and look in the language and we find we have particles for questioning, to make a statement into a question, and that's like hamza. That's like the hamza that comes at the beginning of a statement makes it a question. Ahada maktabun, is this a desk? So where did the question meaning come from? The at the front. The what? The at the front. So hamzatul istifham is a harf. Mata has two meanings, shart and istifham, and in both meanings it's resembling a harf. In the first meaning it's resembling in, and in the second meaning it's resembling the hamza of istifham. You got that? You got that? So it's mabni. Mata is?
Mabni.
Fi mata wa fi huna. In mata and also in huna. Huna is an ism. Huna is an ism. It means there. Okay, so somebody's going to ask you, why is huna mabni? It has three letters, so you can't say it because it's less than three. Ha, nun, alif, right? So that's not the reason. So this scholar is saying that the reason why huna is mabni is because it resembles a harf. The same way mata resembles a harf. The difference is mata resembles a harf that exists. And huna resembles a harf that should have existed but doesn't. Huna resembles a harf that should have existed but doesn't. What does that mean? That means that, what is mata for? Mata is for ishara. What is mata for? Ishara. Ishara is a meaning for the meanings. Right? Ishara is a meaning from the meanings. So what are the meanings? Ma'ana min al-ma'ani. One of the meanings is like, for example, to be on top. To be on top. Isti'la. For isti'la, we have a particle ala. What do we have?
Ala.
It means on. It means above. Okay? Zarfiya. To be inside something. That's the meaning. From the meanings. So for that, we have a particle fi. So if you want to say something's in something, we say fi. What do you say?
Fi.
Okay, negation or negating, that's the meaning. For that we have ma on the madi. And we have la on the mudari, right? Okay, so for every meaning, like these meanings, there's a particle specific to it, right? So like that, ishara is a meaning. Ishara is a meaning. فَحَقُّهَا أَيُّذَ عَلَهَا حَرْفٌ. So it was also worthy of having a particle alongside it. Ishara, like the other meanings have their own particles, so ishara is a meaning, so why doesn't it have, it should also have a particle to refer to it. But it doesn't. But it?
Doesn't.
So this is what we mean when we say a harf that should have existed but doesn't. A harf? Yeah. So huna resembles this imaginary harf. The one for ishara. But there's nothing. Because the only thing we have for ishara in the language are all isms. They're all isms. Like hada is an ism, hadi is an ism, dalik is an ism, tirka is an ism, huna is an ism. So now the question arises about their mabniness. So the answer is because they resemble a harf that should have existed but doesn't. And then if you want to explain that, you say ishara is the meaning from the meaning, etc. You got it? Okay. No. Listen to it. Wait. No, I'm not going to repeat it again. I said it there, I said it here again. Listen. So one resemblance is a number of letters. Second resemblance is a meaning. A meaning could be to a harf that exists. Meaning could be to a harf that should have existed but doesn't. Is that clear? The third resemblance. وَكَنِيَابَةٍ عَنِ الْفِعْلِ بِلَا تَأَثُّرٍ وَكَفْتِقَارٍ السِّلَى Niyaba. What does niyaba mean? Anybody know? Niyaba means to be in place of somebody. To be in place of somebody. To do the work of the original. The original is gone, so you're doing the work for him, so you're not it. Like the vice president or something.
Deputy.
To be a deputy of a verb. وَكَنِيَابَةٍ عَنِ الْفِعْلِ بِلَا تَأَثُرٍ And to be the deputy of a verb without being affected. تَأَثُر تَأَثُر, it means to be affected, right? When is تَأَثِير, when is تَأَثُر? تَأَثِير is when you influence. تَأَثُر is when you get influenced. So he's saying, the third way an ism can resemble a harf. Because this is what he's doing, right? He's telling you the ways an ism can resemble a harf. One of the ways is a number of letters. Another way is a meaning. The third way is to be deputy of a verb without getting influenced. To be deputy of a verb without getting influenced. This is a characteristic of the harfs. Because the harfs, what do? They do amal. What do? They do amal, they influence others and they're not influenced themselves. They're not influenced themselves. So if you get an ism that does amal and also is not influenced itself, it will be mabni. It will be mabni. That's what it means. If you get an ism that influences others but does not influence itself, it will be mabni. There are some isms in the language that have the meaning of verbs. Hayhata is an ism. Because hayhata, it means you came distant. What does it mean? You came distant, so why isn't it a verb then? If it has a verb meaning. So they say here, the Nahwi people, they say hayhata is not a verb because it doesn't follow the rules of verbs. It's not classified. You can't, it doesn't fall under any bab. It doesn't fall under any verb grouping, right? Because it's hayhata. It doesn't rhyme with any pattern. Okay, and it's like ruwaida. Ruwaida, there's no verb like that in the language. Ruwaida. But the meaning of ruwaida is a verb meaning. Because ruwaida is, it means give respite or give chance. Give him a leave, give him a break. You know, don't pressure him. Ruwaida. Let him, leave him alone. Ruwaida. So ruwaida, this is a verb in the language that means leave him alone, right? It's a command verb. What is it? A command verb. So ruwaida has the meaning of a command verb. Hayhata has the meaning of a madi verb. So Ibn Hajib in the first Nahwis, the ones that established those three, the Mabni al-Asr, they say hayhata is Mabni because it resembles ba'ud of Mabni al-Asr. It's a madi, right? They'll say ruwaida is Mabni because it resembles amhil. Amhil means give respite, same thing. Amhil is Amr Hadir. It's a command verb. So you see these two isms, this hayhata and this ruwaida, they're resembling verbs. Amadi and Amr, and that's why they're Mabni, right? Okay, but this Ibn Malik, he doesn't accept that, right? He says there's only one reason why things become Mabni, and that's resemblance to Harf. That's resemblance to Harf. So how are you going to explain it now? So he says no. He says the reason why hayhata and ruwaida are Mabni is because they influence without getting influenced. Because they? Yeah. Huh? Niyaba. عَنِ الْفِعْلِ بِلَا تَأَثُرُ To be a deputy of a verb without being affected. Okay?
So how is it a deputy of the verb?
Oh well, he just said that to make a rhyme, right?
No, I mean, how does it...
Because it does what a verb does. I.e. influence. You know, it has nothing to do with verb. It could be he's just wording it like that to make a rhyme. Because he's restricted, it's poetry, right? It has to meter. Rhythm and meter, right? So that's why he says, he wants to say to influence without being influenced. That's what he wants to say. But he says to be a deputy of a verb without getting affected. To do what a verb does and not get affected. What does a verb do? It influences, right? So instead of saying to influence without being influenced, he says to be a deputy of a verb without being affected.
But isn't that a definition of
mobbing
anyways?
No.
So you can't take the place of
No, because, no, it's a resemblance. It's a quality. To influence, it's a quality. It's to be a naib. to be naive of a verb and not get affected. So what happens? Oh, because that's, verbs aren't like that, because mudari gets affected. Mudari gets affected. Mudari affects others because it's verbs, so it makes fires and mafools and it gives up and gives nasib and all that stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then at the same time, lan and lam come and affect it as well. Okay? So this quality is describing here to be deputy of a verb, i.e. to influence, and at the same time not be affected. This is characteristic of had. This is a characteristic of had, because all the amil, the governing agent has, are like that. The governing agent has, they govern, but they're not governed. You got that? Okay, and then he says at the end, وَقَفْ تِقَارِ الْأُصِّلَى. An absolute dependency. Absolute dependency. So, this is a characteristic of harf. So if you get an ism that has absolute dependency, it will be mabni. It will be mabni. This is like pronoun. Pronouns are absolutely dependent. Okay, there's two reasons. Pronouns, sometimes they're mabni because of the number of letters. Like the two isms of jitana, you and us. And the other reason why pronouns could be mabni is because they're dependent. The bigger pronoun, like huwa, or huma, or hum, iyaka, iyakuma, like those other pronouns. It means him, his, her, you, they, their. Okay, whatever. These pronouns are mabni because they're dependent on the nouns before them. You can't use he unless you have a noun first. Because the person will be thinking, who's he talking about? He's saying he. He's saying he. So first you have to let the person know about a particular person. So use a noun, and then after that you can use as many pronouns as you want. As many pronouns as you want. So it has to be present. The noun has to be present. Either there in the words itself, or like understood. Understood. And also the relative pronoun is mabni because it's a dependent. Alladhi. Alladhi. I mentioned it in both classes, I think. Alladhi. It's called mawsool. What is it called? Mawsool. And we're talking about the pronoun that comes between a noun and a sentence that describes it. A noun and a sentence that describes it. This is the pen which I bought yesterday. So the word which is a relative pronoun. It's called mawsool. What is it called? Mawsool. And this mawsool is always dependent on the sentence that comes after it. You can't mention a mawsool unless you have a sentence describing. So yeah, you know that which I bought yesterday part? That I bought yesterday part is called sila. What is it called?
Sila.
Very clear, right? Okay, now in verbs, so that's everything about isms, right? So the pronouns are mabni, mawsools are mabni, ismi ishara is mabni. The isms that have the meaning of verbs, they're all mabni. They're all mabni. There's a few of them. The isms that have the meaning of verbs. I gave two examples, hayhata and ruwaita. Hayata means became distant, and the way that means
respite.
Give respite. Yeah, amr meaning. Okay, in verse, the break goes like this: all madi is mabni. All madi is
mabni.
Okay. No, the first thing is in verbs, we have to do a bit of modification. The Salafi people, they said, how many types of verb are there?
Four.
What are they? Madi,
Mudari,
Amr, Nahi. Madi, Mudari, Amr, Nahi. Madi is the past tense one. Mudari is the present future. Amr is the command one, and Nahi is the negative command. The Salafi said that, right? The people of Nahu, they don't recognize that. They say, no, they say there's only three verbs. How many? Three verbs. So the first thing they do is they take the nahi category and they eliminate it. This is no such thing called nahi. As a separate category. There's no such thing as nahi. As a separate category. They believe nahi to be part of mudari. They believe nahi to be part of mudari. How does a nahi look? La tadrib. That's a nahi. La tadrib. It's very similar to la tadribu, right? لا تدريبو ذا مضارع لا يدريبو لا يدريبان لا يدريبون لا تدريبو لا تدريبان لا يدريبنا لا تدريبو لا تدريبو and this was لا تدريب meaning wise they're both completely different. لا تدريبو it means you do not hit, you will not hit, like that, present future. And the other one لا تدريب means don't hit. What does it mean? Don't hit. So meaning wise they're different, right? But the way they look very similar. The difference is now the Nahwi will look with a different perspective, right? He'll say, look, this is the same thing. What's he going to say? He's going to say the same thing. The only difference is the first la tadribu is marfu. What is it? And the second la tadrib is majzum. State of jazm. This is jazm is a state of the fair. Jazm doesn't happen in isms. Doesn't happen in isms. So what is la tadrib? It's a mudari in the state of jazm. What is it? Yeah, it's not a separate verb. Okay, so we've taken care of it. So now when we talk about mudari, we're going to talk about mudari and nahi as well, right? Because now our categories got bigger now. Okay, so that's one category just got. Okay, the amr, they do a bit of modification there as well, the nahwis. Because amr, there's like, amr could be active, it could be passive. It could be active. Like everything could be active and passive, right? Madi could be active and passive, positive, negative, everything's there, right? Same thing with amr, it could be active and passive. And everything has 14 conjugations. Madi has 14 conjugations. Mudari has 14 conjugations. Lan ones. All these tables. They're all 14. So here too, in the amr, and then in the nahi as well, in the amr, it's supposed to be 14. It's supposed to be 14. But a command, how can you a command to somebody that's not there? Because amr means command, right?
Okay.
It's figurative. You could do it, but it won't be a real command. It won't be a real command. How could you do a command to yourself? Again, it's figurative, it's not?
Actual command.
Yeah. The actual command is just to the second person, and it has to be active. In other words, you're commanding the person in front of you to do something. That's command. So like, we started off with 28. How many did you start off with? 28. We have two tables, an active table of 14. And we have a passive table of 14. For Amr, like for everything else, we have 28, right? Active, 14, active, 14, passive. For Mudari, 14 active, 14 passive. And then they have negatives as well, but forget that. We don't need the negatives right now. Essentially, everything for 24, 28. What's everything?
28.
So the Amr also? 28. So what they do, the Nahwi people, they say, look, from all of these 28 conjugations, there's only 6 that are real Amr. And that's the middle 6 of the active side. The what? Yeah. The whole of the passive side is figurative. And from the active side, the top 6 are figurative, the bottom 2 are figurative. Because what does it mean, the middle 6? It means hit. What does it mean? Hit. Like, depending on who you're speaking to. One male, two males, more than two males, female, two females, more than two females. You say hit. So that's a real command, because you're actually requesting. You're commanding the person in front of you to do something. Okay, now, if you do passive of that, you're speaking to somebody with a passive command. What does that mean? That means get hit. What does that mean? Right? No, get hit will be Amr. Get hit is it's active. You should be hit. You must get hit. You must get hit. That's the real way. You must get hit, you should get hit. So what does that mean? That means put yourself in a position where somebody can hit you. Right, you should get hit. So the command is not to the person, the command is to a ghaib. To a ghaib that's unknown, is not mentioned, and you're supposed to be the object of the hitting. You're supposed to be the object of the hitting. You must get hit. Chahiye ke tum mare jao. That's the translation. Chahiye ke tum mare jao. And 6 of those. And then you go to the active top, he should hit. Chahiye ke wo mare. He should get hit. He should hit. She should hit. I should hit. We should hit. And then he should get hit. They should get hit. Like that, get. The passive ones have get, and the active ones, they don't have get, and they all have should. They all have
should
because the command's not directed. The person the command's being directed to, he's not in front of you. He's not in front of you. Whenever he's not in front of you, you have to stick on a should. Or a must. Whatever, depending on how much you want to emphasize it. So, from 28, how many are real amrs?
Six.
And how many are fake ones? Figurative ones?
22.
The rest of them, 22, right? The whole of the passive side and 8 of the active side. The remaining 8 of the active side. Okay, so that's one difference. The other difference is they look different as well. The 6 in the middle, they start off with the hamza. Idrib. Idriba, idribu, idribi, idriba, idribna. You see that? Idrib, idriba, idribu. That's the way it is. And most of the time. So they don't have the prefix of mubari. They don't have. This is what I had to get at. They don't have the prefix. What's the prefix in those middle 6? It's ta, right?
Yeah.
It's ta. So these middle 6, they don't have ta. If you look at all the other 22, they have the prefix there. On the other side, it's li tudrab. Li tudrab. That means you must get hit. لتدرى بالمجهول تود. You see the dhamma is majhool and is ساكن at the end. لتدرب لتدربا لتدربو لتدربي لتدربا لتدربنا هذا لتدرب لتدربا لتدربو لتدربي لتدربا لتدربنا. And then back to the top. ليدرب ليدربا ليدربو لتدرب لتدربا ليدربنا. Skip the sense because we already did them. ليدرب لندرب ليدرب لندرب. So you look at all the 22 of them, they all have their prefixes intact, and before the prefix is the li. And they call it the Lam of Amr. What do they call it?
No.
The Lam of Amr. If you look at Idrib, Idriba, Idribu, it doesn't have the prefix, nor does it have a Li. Nor does it have a Li. So Nahu is there saying, look, in all the rest of them, they have prefix of Mudare, so why not call them Mudare? Why not call them Mudare? The Sukun at the end of them could be attributed to the Li, so why not call them Majzu? Why not call them Majzum? Because Majzum means there's an agent of jazm. What does Majzum mean?
Agent
of jazm, and you have a li there. So call that li the agent of jazm. And say this is mudari in the state of jazm. Mudari in the state of jazm. As for the idrib, idriba, idribu, idribi, idriba, idribna, i.e. the middle six of the active side. As for them, number one, they don't have the ta. They don't have the ta. So calling them mudari wouldn't be good. It's not right. It's not right. And then the other thing is they don't have the agent. They don't have the agent. The hamza there is for pronunciation. What's the hamza there for?
Pronunciation.
It's not a harf. It's not a harf. It's not a particle. So now idrib is also sakin. Idrib is also sakin. And litudrab, the other ones, they're also sakin. So now what we're going to say here is we're going to say the sukun on litudrab is a reflection of jazm. It's a reflection of jazm. And the verb is a mudari verb in the state of jazm. As for idrib, the sukun on it is a mabni sukun. What is it?
Mabni
sukun, and it's not jazm. Because for jazm you need an agent, there's no agent. There's no agent. So what happened to all of nahi? What happened to it? It got incorporated in mudari. What happened to it? We took it and stuck it in mudari. What happened to 22 conjugations of the amr? Same thing. They went into mudari. So now, according to nahu, there's three verbs. Madi, mudari, which includes 22 and the all of nahi. And the third one is not amr. The third one is amr hadir ma'ruf. What's the third one?
Amr ma'ruf.
Hadir ma'ruf. Amr means command. Hadir means second person. Ma'ruf means active. Ma'ruf means active. So we're putting clauses. We're eliminating those 22. Because we don't want them anymore. You got that? Okay, so now from the three verbs, Mahdi is Mabni in its entirety. Amr hadir ma'ruf is Mabni in its entirety. Those six conjugations, the whole is Mabni. What's left?
Mudari.
And Mudari now become big category now, right? Okay, you got that? So now what happens with mudari is that there's 14 conjugations. How many?
14.
14 conjugations. Two of those 14 conjugations are mabni. You know this, right?
Seven. Yeah.
Two of the 14 conjugations are mabni. Which two? Yaf'alna and taf'alna. So the jama mu'annath, the plural feminine conjugation, number 6 and number 12. They're mabni. Okay? They're mabni and they're gone. Okay? The remaining 12 are marav. What are the remaining 12?
Marav.
Provided that they don't have the noon of emphasis at the end of them. Provided that they don't have the noon of emphasis at the end of them. And this is coming in the Sa'd book lesson number 7. The emphatic. What is it called?
Emphatic.
The emphatic. The special noon. Is added to the end of the mudari verb and the meaning becomes emphasized. What happens to the meaning?
Emphasized.
If this noon of emphasis comes at the ending of the mudari, it becomes mabni. Become mabni. All 14. All 14 will become mabni. So if it doesn't have the noon of emphasis, then there's 14 of them, 2 are mabni. 12 are marab. 12 are marab. You got that? So from the verbs, what's mabni and what's marab? Mad is mabni, that's 1. Amr hadir ma'ruf, that's 2. Mudari with the noon of feminine plurality, ayah number 6 and number 12. That's 13, that's mabni. Mudari with the noon ta'kid. No, with noon ta'kid, mabni. We're counting the mabnis. So the fourth thing from verbs which is mabni is the mudari verb if it has the noon of emphasis at the end of it. If it has the noon of emphasis at the end of it, mudari is mabni. All 14 conjugations. So that's four things that are mabni. What's mu'arab? Mudari empty of both nouns. What's mu'arab?
Mudari empty of both
nouns. Yeah, what do you mean by both nouns? The feminine plurality one and the noon ta'kid one. The feminine plurality one and the noon ta'kid one. Okay? So there's five things I just counted there. Mati, number one. Amahadir Ma'ruf, number two. Mudari with the noon jama mu'annath, which is 6 and 12. That's three things. Fourth thing. Mudari with noon ta'kid. Fourth thing. The fifth thing is mu'arab. What's the fifth thing? Mudari empty of both noons. So what's one from five? What's that? 20%, right?
Yeah.
One from five is 20%. What did I say at the front? I said 80% are mabni, 20 is mu'arab. So how accurate? We just pulled it from the air, we said 80-20. And it worked out. You see that? We're done. That's everything you need to know about mu'arab and mabni. First major discussion covered today, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. This is a major discussion, we got to record it, alhamdulillah. Yeah? Yeah, so it's done.